Santaholics, it's the Rad Tribal Podcast.
To the Synthaholics podcast. This week we are just two of us. I'm not speaking very good English today.
Diney Tim here. Thanks for having me on the show, Holly.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us. I know how sick you've been, and it's just a pleasure and an honor for you to be here, Tiny Tim.
Those Nausicaans took my cane and broke it over the knee.
Why do you have to be Michael Caine?
Why can't I be Michael Caine and Tiny Tim at the same time?
It's like full circle, because Michael Caine was Scrooge.
Patrick Stewart was also Scrooge once, I think. And then there was the great George C. Scott, who was Scrooge, which was very, very good.
What's the... I should be slapped for forgetting his name. Have you ever seen Scrooged?
Oh, yeah, Bill Murray.
Bill Murray, yeah.
That's a great movie. I hear they're wanting to reboot Scrooged. But this is not the Scrooged podcast.
Yeah, sorry.
It's fine. I just thought it was
a sidetracked podcast.
We keep talking about Tiny Tim and things like that.
Well, I'm Holly.
Oh, and I'm David. I'm Michael Caine. I'm David. I've been gone for a while, guys.
And we are still talking Picard, so hopefully you guys are not sick of that.
Old Baldy.
He is a handsome bald man.
He is a handsome old Baldy.
Fully bald, but still.
Well, Aaron this week, he is on vacation, so we hope you're having a wonderful vacation in the woods in the cabin. And maybe that's where he's going to film his running around naked in the woods video for Patreon that he's been teasing us with for years. He's finally in a place to do it.
Oh, goodness.
Yes. We can only hope that he's fulfilling this Patreon demand that no one's asked for.
It's an odd hope for you to have.
Well, you know, he's been teasing it for a long time. I'm sure someone out there is clamoring for it.
I'm sure. Curiosity kills the cat, so.
The death by a thousand screams. So
this week we're going to touch on the Drumhead, which was obviously still Star Trek Next Generation, Season 4, Episode 21. And fun fact, it was directed by, who was it directed by, David?
Jonathan Frakes.
So obviously he's not really in the episode very much, but
at least he's not kissing the guest star Klingon or the guest star Admiral Lady or the guest star typographer later. Stenographer lady. Yes.
Yeah. Her name's never brought up, or maybe it is. Yeah. I think
The guest star Betazoid.
I don't know. He was weird. Kind of a dick.
He was like getting on Worf's good side, and then he gets on Worf's bad side.
Yeah, he's like, oh, trust me, we and myself and the administration or the, you know, whatever, we don't hold your father's past against you. And then he's all like,
you
how
were
do you
a traitor
trust
with
him?
Romulans,
son of a traitor. And it's like, the fuck, man?
Speaking of Worf, 4 hours ago, an article came out on comicbook.com, and Michael Dorn thinks his Worf show would fit well in with the new era of Star Trek television. So this is something he's been trying to pitch for years, even like before Discovery was a thing. He was trying to pitch his Captain Worf show, and he's still trying to get them to do his Worf pilot. So maybe Picard could be... open a backdoor pilot for the Worf show. Who knows?
I don't know, though, because I would hate to see a trend come where everybody from old series got their own show. I mean, I wouldn't hate it, but it would just be, like, disappointing. Because, you know, we're all looking for new and interesting, exciting information, not stuff that maybe probably happened in the past.
Well, no, there would be a new Worf show. Like, it takes place during the Picard era for the new show, I would imagine. And according to this article, his Next Generation star, co-star Marina Sirtis, also was on the panel. She added, "I read his script for the pilot, and I called him up and said, 'How did you do that?' He had all the action stuff minutely detailed, and I was very impressed with my best friend." So she thinks the script is good.
And who is she?
Counselor Troi.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. She's the Michael Caine of the females on the ship, because she's got her weird Beta Zed accent that starts slowly fading away by the time we get to the movies.
She does. I don't know if that was a choice.
It was an acting choice. She was trying to be alien. And then of course, Michelle Barrett, who is amazing, comes on as Counselor Troi's mom, who's full Beta Zed and has no accent at all. Which is kind of fantastic that she kind of ruined it. And then by the time you get to the movies, Marina Sirtis just speaks like Marina Sirtis. She doesn't speak like Troi anymore. Oh, Aaron, I don't know. I think didn't Aaron post that Matrix 4 news on the group? Aren't you so excited about that?
We do have news for Matrix. Yes.
Aren't you so excited about that? One of the Wachowski sisters, I don't remember which one. I think it was Lana. Mm-hmm. She's coming back, and Keanu Reeves and Carrie Ann Moss. So we've got three of the principal people. So that's interesting.
I will watch it.
I'm absolutely so glad it's not the prequel of Michael B. Jordan that's about a young Morpheus. I couldn't care less about a young Morpheus movie. I mean, Michael B. Jordan, he's a fine actor, but that's not exciting. I'm tired of prequels.
Give me
new things.
To be fair, Morpheus is changed when he meets the Oracle. So a prequel for Morpheus could be ridiculous and crazy and completely different than the Morpheus we know. And it would still be exciting. But it would be not that I'm pitching that, you know, not that I'm saying they should do it. If they did do it, it would be a good way for people to see Morpheus's character, and I don't want to say that he became like a radical
in the time when he shacked up with the Oracle,
right? But you know, they talk about in number two and number three, they talk about his change Morpheus and how he changed when he met the Oracle. So it wouldn't be a bad idea if they did something. But I see why you don't want it. It's fine.
I don't know. I mean, Enterprise had its issues for being a prequel. Discovery has its issues for being a prequel. All the Star Wars movies that take place before Episode 4 have a problem for being a prequel. Yes, I'm still looking at you, Rogue One. I'm still mad at you.
I didn't like Rogue One.
I hated it. It's made me so angry. It was worse than the three prequels that George Lucas made. By far.
I don't know. It just felt like, no, I don't know. It felt like nothing happened.
It felt like nothing happened, except for it undermined everything that I like kind of really enjoyed about Episode 4. And it undermined characters, it undermined the plot, it undermines Vader. It does nothing good for the franchise, other than, I guess, how much money it made, which wasn't as big as I think they were wanting, but who knows?
Who knows? Well, we are not here to talk about any of that stuff. We're here to talk about Picard.
I haven't been on the show for so long. I've got so many rabbit holes. This is going
to
be all.
So many things to say.
There's so many rabbit holes.
That's okay. We will allow some rabbit holes. Actually, a few weeks ago, I think Aaron and I decided they were black holes.
Black holes.
Yeah.
Gee, Daddy, where's the black holes at? Daddy? Where are you, Daddy?
Daddy's not on the episode this week. You're gonna have to wait for your daddy to get back home from vacation.
He went to the wormhole without me.
So we are discussing a bunch of episodes that we or Aaron and David have decided are very important to this upcoming Picard series coming in 2020. And our next episode is The Drumhead. So hopefully you've all seen it. If not, we're going to kind of go through it a little bit. So are you ready?
Yes, you may go ahead.
All right. So short, sweet, and simple, hopefully. A Klingon exchange officer is questioned when the warp drive appears to have been sabotaged. A retired admiral is activated to assist Picard and his crew as she led an investigation that exposed an alien conspiracy against Starfleet Command.
She's Judge Judy.
She's Judge Judy. So she gets the ship, and after a brief inspection of the engine room and the warp core, Admiral Satie and Picard allow an interrogation of Jidan, which is the exchange officer, which I just find the funniest phrase.
he's such a cute name for a Klingon, Jidan.
Jidan.
It almost seems like a, I don't know, Romulan name or not Klingon.
You know, they would have like some fierce name, and he's like, hey, so what's up? I'm Jidan.
I'm Jidan. He's from the hood. He wears his gold chains and his gold teeth.
My name's Jidan.
He's a Klingon rapper. It's just that's what he is.
That's what he is, yeah. So there's this interrogation of Jidan, which leads to a confession, but it's not about the warp core's sabotage. Jidan omits to smuggling the blueprints of the warp core to the Romulans.
In his DNA.
Yeah. So it comes to light that Jidan was basically converting data into an injectable form, injecting unknown persons, and they'd leave, and the Romulans would intercept and extract the information from their DNA.
And we don't know if they're alive or not. The Romulans aren't the nicest of the peoples.
Yeah, there's no telling. So while interrogating the rest of the crew, the Admiral's Betazoid picks up someone is hiding something, and the someone is named Simon Tarsis. So the Admiral pursues the matter, and Picard disagrees with her tactics. She plans to use the feelings of her Betazoid companion as all she needs to go on to deem Tarsis guilty. This causes Picard to question his own tactics in the past when he has used Deanna's feelings to pass judgment. So at this time, Geordi and Data
bring... To be fair, she states the obvious most of the time, so I don't think it's a fair comparison.
Right, no. These two are... It's so very clear that they're not just fishing, but they're total conspiracy theorists. So they are just looking for anything, and they will grab onto it and run with it.
So they're a dude pretending to be a girl trying to get money?
What?
Fishing.
Oh, it's like, well, I don't get it.
Internet fishing?
Yeah, yeah. Catfished.
Yes, catfish. I'm sorry.
You know, that catfish. Doesn't... You don't have to be opposite gender to catfish someone.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
No. No. Catfishing, basically... So if I pretended to be blonde and took someone else's photo and started dating a guy, said my name was Julie, that'd be catfishing.
Oh. Yeah. Well, hi, Julie. It's nice to meet you. How long have you been codpasting for?
What?
How long have you been codpasting for?
Cod.
Isn't that the catfishing version of podcasting?
For catfishers, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, so Geordi and Data bring their findings to Picard and the Admiral, and they've found zero evidence of sabotage. So they've discovered hypothesize that the last time the engine was inspected, the hatch casing was replaced. So evidence shows that there must have been a defect in it causing the blast when the neutrons became fatigued.
Data must have used it as toilet paper and scratched it one day.
I don't know that he would need to, you know, use that as toilet paper, but now I'm picturing Data rubbing his butt on the warp core, so thank you for that.
And then maybe Spot rubbed on it too, and Spot's kitty litter got in and cracked it.
Oh my gosh. So the Admiral is not convinced, and they fall into a conspiracy theory with zero evidence that Jidan has Confederates, which I don't know why they called them Confederates, but whatever.
The blue and the gray. We're gonna get Gettysburg.
Right. But they believe somebody is assisting him in stealing the information, which is, you know, Tarsis, of course. So It turns out that what Tarsus is hiding is that his grandfather was a Romulan, but on his Starfleet file, it says Vulcan. So the Admiral sees this as,
treason!
Vulcan. Yeah.
You're going to Starfleet hell, which is basically a pretty garden where you're under phaser fire all the time. And if you try to run away from the pretty garden where you garden for being a criminal.
So I said Confederates and now you are a Southerner. Okay.
Well, you're complaining about me being Michael Caine.
Can you be Michael Caine as a Southerner?
I don't know if I can do that.
Okay. You're going to have to work on that one. basically, Picard all but tells Satie that she's grasping at straws, and she turns her sights on him, putting him on trial.
What about this time you became a Borg and gave them all the information?
You bitch! Who was it? Admiral Henry. Starfleet Admiral Henry shows up at the ship to
observe
the trial. Yeah, he comes to supervise. So Picard is then on trial, and he basically says, you know, this investigation started with secret smuggling, and then it turned to parental damnation, and now here I am. We're off track. This is not why you're here in the first place, so put an end to it. And the Admiral
he quotes her father, who was also a Judge Judy.
Right. He does, but not yet. This is where she brings up where he violates the Prime Directive and then questions whether he has recovered from his experience with the Borg. And she's not kind about everything she says, you know, about the counts of people who died and the amount of ships that were taken out and how it was all his fault.
He was like, how do you recover from being raped?
Right. Picard quotes her father, and oh man, she gets so fucking pissed. She gets super emotional.
I was seeing steam throw out her ears.
Oh my gosh. Great actress, by the way. But yeah, she vows to take him down, and Henry is unimpressed and walks out, basically ending the trial.
He's like, that bitch is cray cray.
Right. And he doesn't say a word. Right, he says nothing. And he specifically is familiar with her. He's worked with her in the past. So that's why he was chosen to be there. And the fact that he stepped out says a lot to her reaction. But she realizes that she has no real case after she kind of explodes. And recess is called, but that is the last we see of the trials because Henry decides the matter will no longer be pursued. And she turns tails and jets. Takes off. So that's the end of the episode. Retire. Oh, she's going to re-retire.
Re-retire.
So that's the episode. I mean,
Worf comes to Picard. He's like, well, I got all worked up. I was so excited with my two Klingon dicks, and I had to get to the bottom of it.
He's ashamed that he felt like she was right and Picard was wrong. And that was sweet and endearing that he was able to go to Picard about it, but you know.
Yeah, so it's sort of like the ending of Measure of a Man, where Riker and Data are talking, except it's this time it's Worf and Picard. It was kind of touching like that.
Yeah. Yeah. But the line that really sets off Satie that I think is the important takeaway from this episode is the first time any man's freedom is trodden on, we're all damaged. Because, she was trying to make it seem as though his experience with the Borg left him unfit to remain with Starfleet.
And she also had lied about the evidence to the little Romulan Tiny Tim. And
Simon
Tarsus. Made him Simon Tarsus Tim. poor STT. Poor STT was STT. Being abused. Oh, wait, no.
That really was shitty.
Yeah. But, he had the thickest Romulan ears ever. Oh, that poor kid. I wonder if he had an ear infection. I've never seen Romulan ears so thick.
It was weird. It was just really bad prosthetic. Like, it was darker. It was textured. It was weird.
I think maybe he was bitten by a bug and it just made his ears swell.
Maybe. Or like when he gets nervous, they swell.
Oh, no. Ear water retention. It's like, yeah. I ain't seen an elephant fly.
Right. but I mean, I don't know. That was probably really fast run through. What did you think of the episode, and what can we take away from this episode that's going to help us with the Picard series?
Picard is a steadfast man, and he likes quoting people. So we're gonna see lots of him quoting people probably in the new Picard series.
Oh, don't be silly.
No, but I mean, like, he's just like his character. He's just like, you know, at first we had a legitimate problem. The problem was solved. And I like how he's very like, let's not bullshit around with the stuff that's stupid. Because I mean, they in the beginning of the third act, they basically had the answer to what was wrong with the warp core.
Yeah,
it was an accident, and mm-hmm. the fact that, like, you know, they
were,
yeah, and then he also wouldn't had tea with Big Ears.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he was like, this guy's okay. You know, I can vouch for him. Like, you know, he was just scared. He didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
And I just think just seeing his character and seeing like how reserved he was, even when he was on trial and like just on point, whenever he was like, had the finger pointed at him in so many different ways, from being a Borg to like letting that, you know, letting that Romulan saboteur, that spy, get away. It's just like they're calling into question them. And it's like, what about all the years she was in freaking Starfleet? You're going to blame us?
Right.
It's just like, what? No one else knew it. She was a Romulan either. I don't know. It was just, I mean, like, he had all this stuff pointed at him, and he took it with such a grace. And he was so, you know, he didn't get worked up. He didn't get angry. He was super logical about how to approach it. And he just did it with such an amazing grace. And I just saying, I think, you know, he's got more Borg stuff. I mean, Borg's all over the trailer. So, I mean, he's definitely going to have to, like, recover that with grace. Although once we get to further things, he's not so graceful when it comes to the Borg later on. He was a lot more graceful in the show about the Borg. And then in the movie, he goes psycho. So, we'll have to see which Picard we get in the show. Will we get the nice reserved Picard from the television show, or will we get the psycho Borg Slayer from First Contact?
Well, as far as the way he reacted in this episode, I imagine it was written this way because of the conversation he has with Satie about her upbringing and how her father would pose a situation at the dinner table, and then she and her brothers would have to debate. And they weren't allowed to get up from the table until the debate was won. And I think he, because she had divulged that information, I think he was able to really gauge what kind of person she was and what kind of debater she was. So I think that's why he stayed calm.
Yes. That's funny. That's really great. He was strategizing. He was like trying to make her be the one blow up.
I think so. I mean,
so you're saying maybe. He was being spiteful in real life.
I mean, she was kind of a see you next Tuesday.
Well, what is that, Holly? So what's your take on this episode in Picard, Holly, other than the fact that he was probably being super spiteful and I thought he was being really nice and calm?
Well, I thought it was odd that Satie isn't forthcoming with basic intelligence. So in the first conversation they have, so after they look at the warp core, they go back to Picard's office to kind of discuss. And there's what does he ask? He goes, you know, has the Federation heard anything regarding, you know, Klingons and Romulans?
I am the Federation, Picard.
Well, that's pertinent information, especially aboard your starship where you have a Klingon passing information to Romulans. And that's basic intelligence. There should have been no reason for Satie not to confirm, deny, or give any kind of response to. And she was like, I don't think it's any of your business what the Federation does or does not know. And I was just like, holy fuck. Like, does the Federation not trust Picard because of the Borg? So,
well, they don't in First Contact because they tell him to stay out of the conflict.
Well, so there's that. And then I just think that that's going to stick with them. You know, the first time any man's freedom is trodden on, we're all damaged. And so I think that this was an excellent episode to point out that it's going to be with him, whether he seems fine or not. It's going to, he's going to carry it with him. And duh, because duh. But it was a frustrating episode.
Oh, really? You felt frustrated by it?
So frustrated because, again, you know, they find that the cause of the main issue, well, not the main issue, the cause of one of the issues was just coincidental and an accident. And then they continue to pursue...
They kept trying to pursue a matter that was solved.
Well, that's the thing. Like, they weren't even looking at, they like piggybacked off of other things to create this huge conspiracy. So like they came to solve this conspiracy, but really they were the ones creating it.
Yeah.
You know, and we have so many conspiracy theories in the real world today. So it's kind of reflects what we're going through right now in today's day and age.
What are your favorite conspiracy theories nowadays?
You know, I don't have any, I don't care for them. But I was thinking, you kind of strike me as somebody who would get really interested in conspiracy theories.
I love conspiracy theories.
Okay. I'm glad I wasn't off there. Do you have, tell me one of your favorite conspiracy theories, because I don't have any conspiracy theories.
I don't know. I don't look into a bunch of them, but they do interest me.
But they fascinate you.
They fascinate me. Like, you know, the JFK one that was an inside job. The 9/11 was an inside job. I mean, they're fascinating. I mean, I don't necessarily believe any of this stuff. Some of it, you know, JFK being an inside job makes a lot of sense because he was not liked very much in the department. 9/11 being an inside job, probably not as likely.
Right.
But it's just interesting, like, things like that. I like reading up on them or listening to people talk about them on podcasts and whatnot, because it's endlessly fascinating. Because sometimes, you know, the truth is stranger than fiction.
That's true. But then again, sometimes you get people like Satie, who burn witches at the stake, and...
She's a witch! I bet she doesn't weigh the same as a duck!
Exactly. So, I mean, that's kind of where I stand on kind of conspiracy theories.
Do you
like,
think,
you know, the moon landing was faked and the planet is flat?
Oh, that's just crazy people.
You know?
I don't even think that's a conspiracy theory. I think it's people – I think that what happened there is people were just trolling real hard and some people believed it. And then the people that believed it ran with it because
– Go ahead.
Because I remember reading, listening about, like, flat earthers and, like, how that came about. It was, like, a lot of people were just joking, like, doing a thought experiment about what if the Earth was flat. And then
maybe
it just went out of control.
I think a lot of people who just did not believe about, that the moon landing was real seek answers. And a lot of the people who believe that the Earth is flat are actually religious, and they found passages in the Bible that they believe flat out say that the Earth is flat, when they don't flat out say it, but still.
Well, I mean, the Catholics say, like what Paul or Peter stuck his head on a rock, and that makes him the Pope. That makes no sense. Like, people right. People miss, you know, take stuff out of context all the time and
of
use
course.
It for all sorts of wicked and stupid. Ideas.
Perfect example is the Drumhead episode of Star Trek The Next Generation, where this kid is nervous and they exploit that. They find out that he's Romulan, an enemy, descendant of an enemy. And they just all of them sudden decide that he's, you know, a co-conspirator to this Klingon. And that leads to... Well, Picard is willing to just
cover
up all
of these. He was blinded by the coolness
of
the Klingon rapper.
The Klingon rapper. Dan. I don't know if I've ever met a rapper named Dan.
But that's what je d'aime. It's like je it's d'aime. Like suave a little bit. He's like oh, a, he's like one of those like
perfume, like j'adore.
Mm-hmm. He's a French Klingon rapper.
Klingon perfume.
The waves are crashing. Jadan.
Jadan.
The sun is in the sky. Jadan. Klingons have two penises.
You just
Jadan, you're right. Your enemy.
Jadan.
Jadan, right. Just some random trivia about this episode. This was the final episode to have music composed by Ron Jones. Jones was fired shortly after for repeatedly arguing with Rick Berman and Peter Lauritsen over what type of music was thought to be appropriate for the series.
What did he want?
I don't know.
Interesting.
But, yeah, he argued over music and he was fired.
Big decisions.
This was a bottle episode, meaning they just stayed on the ship the entire time, and it came in under and it came $250,000 under budget.
Nice.
This episode was filmed between Tuesday, February 19th, 1991, and Wednesday, February 27th, 1991, on Paramount cool. Soundstage 8 and 9.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Fun.
They shot this really quick. It was like a week and a day.
It's funny, because I feel like we're kind of like, okay, what else can we talk about this episode with? I probably did the too quick of a recap.
No, no. I just – I used to actually do, like, trivia and stuff on the show.
Oh.
And looking at Memory Alpha. And, like, I just was like – I haven't, like, looked at Memory Alpha in a long time on the show. So sorry about that, guys. And This episode establishes technology of genetically encoding secret information. A similar design is seen in the episode of the Suliban Cabal to Clang in Enterprise Broken Bowl. So this comes up again later, but it's in a prequel series. It's funny. It's only ever come up one other time.
I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had to rewind it to make sure I grasped the concept, but I thought it was interesting. I also had to rewind and rewatch Satie's outburst because
I've taken down bigger men than you, Picard. You've seen me naked? How would you know?
No, it just like honestly, I didn't feel like it ended.
Oh yeah, it just
very
felt,
well.
It felt really strange. The ending of this episode did feel really strange.
Yeah, and it was like so.
It's like it stopped and it didn't really end.
Well, the strangeness wasn't out of place because she was fixated on basically creating a conspiracy theory so that she could become the debate winner, essentially. Mm-hmm. That's what I gathered.
Yes.
And she's not dethroned. They say she is. They say, Worf says, oh, well, I doubt anyone will trust her as readily now. But it wasn't... Sorry, Jonathan. Well, I don't know if he wrote it, but it felt very one-sided. And then when Picard essentially won the trial because it was dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't feel like anything was won because nothing really happened. It was just
a conversation. Know. Yeah, it did really end awkwardly.
Yeah.
But one of the things that really fascinated me about this episode, it wasn't so much about Picard actually, was that they actually referenced the events of Conspiracy, which is the season one episode, which was really, really good. And I didn't realize they ever mentioned that ever again in the series. And so I thought it was very interesting that it did come up again. That's the episode where like the bug people were crawling inside people's mouths and they were kind of like acting weird.
Hmm.
And they're eating the maggots for dinner because that's what the bugs wanted.
Ugh. Does that have any effect on Picard's psyche?
No, not really. I just thought it was interesting that the episode was referenced because I just never remembered it being referenced ever again because it was a great one-off episode and I feel like they never came back to it. So I guess they did come back to it, but just overly briefly. There wasn't much to it other than just that they referenced it, that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you think this is going to play into Picard, the show, going forward?
You know, Picard is an emotionally strong person. And we know that he goes back to the Vineyard. And that may seem like something that would indicate he gave up. But I'm sure it was hard for him to go back there as well. And I don't know. I just think...
His brother and his sister-in-law and his nephew died in a fire on the farm. All those crazy out-of-control wine fires.
crazy, all of those crazy wild.
I just think it's funny. It's just strange that people can die in a fire in the future with all these like modern technologies and like probably drones that can put out fire. But they live on a vineyard.
Who mentions it? I don't know. One of them mentions that they like to do things slower and the way things used to be, you know, the history of it.
Oh, yeah, Robert. He's like, I like things slow.
Yeah, and so I just got the impression that the whole town was like that.
Well, I think that was Robert. I'm pretty sure they've got access to drones, or they could beam drones in. I mean, they've got the technology. They're on Earth. It just seems strange that, like a fire could, like, just go that crazy where people could die in the future from a fire.
Well,
unless they were shot with a torpedo and there happened to be fire from the torpedo, that kind of makes more sense. But just a random fire on a farm?
Tradition was important to him, so
we're only going to carry the old fire extinguishers. Oh my goodness, this thing hasn't been refilled with its fluid.
Well, you know, think about it. When he's out in the vines, he doesn't have a communicator. He doesn't have a cell phone. He goes in when he goes in, you know? So they probably don't have things like sprinklers and...
Wow, he's super old school. I don't even want sprinklers in my damn house. I don't know. It just seems strange to me that they died in a fire. But that's in a later thing. That happens in Star Trek Generations, which we'll probably have to touch on eventually in this Picard series.
What are we calling this series? Because I think we should call it something.
Well, we're like six episodes in and we haven't really. Yeah. Picard on Picard. Picard squared.
Picard squared. Maybe on YouTube you can create like
a Picard playlist
for Picard. You've got a series for O'Brien.
Oh yeah, we've got the Prime Directive. Yeah, I'll have to like
Prime Directive. Set it up. That'd be fun.
I'll have to set it up on YouTube for all the different episodes for very specific themes. That's a good idea. We got the Klingon four-parter from way back in the day. Our first season. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, that would be cool. Now, did you guys talk about Drumhead previously, or is this the first time?
This is the first time we've talked about Drumhead, which is why I wanted to talk about it, because it's a really fascinating episode, and just seeing how like a courtroom thing go out of whack.
It was super corrupt.
It was kind of different for Star Trek, and I think that's kind of why I liked it. And you still get to see Picard being the amazing stand-up person that he is.
I mean, what was that episode with Spock and it was the courtroom, and Spock was on trial, but he was essentially leading the trial. What was that episode?
That's Menagerie Part 1 and 2, where they're showing the cage pilot.
Yeah, that one was a courtroom.
And yeah, but it was also like just a back-end way to like, here, look, let's show the pilot since we can't, since it didn't get shown.
Yes, that's true. Wasn't actually court, but yeah,
it wasn't a clip show like Shades of Grey or whatever that was. This was its own episode, so there's been several courtroom scenes I think in Star Trek, but this one was a little bit different because it was such a there was no cause to it really. Mm-hmm. It was just completely out of control basically from the get-go.
It was out of control. She came in. What's the first thing she says? I managed to acquire my previous staff, like all cold and distant. Like, I don't need to work with you. I've got people for that.
My rod and my staff, they comfort me.
They comfort me. I feel like we've said all we can say about this episode.
So what do you think about Picard? I kind of talked to Aaron about it more last time I was on, but with the Picard show, like, what are you thinking? Are you trusting that the department of the people who are writing this, that they've done the research like we're doing for the show? Do you trust that Patrick Stewart, after 25 years of never playing Picard, of 25 years of not playing Picard, can remember all the different facets of the character? Do you trust in that? Do you think they're going to be able to, or do you think they're going to like shoot from the hip and hope it sticks?
You know what's exciting?
What?
Is that we don't know what he's been up to, and it could be a completely different Picard.
Well, that's what they're going for, because Patrick Stewart has said he didn't want to come back to the same thing. So it's going to be a very different Picard. Although in the trailer they were trying to make it seem like he was very much Picard, because they had him going engage and make it so, and like, you know, it was very, like, things we are used to seeing Picard say and do. So,
I mean, I'm ready to accept what they've got, what they've chosen, and I'm not looking too much into it. You guys,
and that's more me, Aaron, and I
enjoy that more. Yeah, you guys enjoy that more. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, I just want to experience it as it comes. So I'm not really, I don't have enough to go on to predict how it's going to be, but I'm hoping that it is fast-paced.
Well, they're actually saying it's going to be a slower-paced show than Discovery. It's going to be more thoughtful, whatever that means.
More thoughtful? Okay. So, like, more diplomatic.
Or more TNG-like, I don't know.
Yeah, I would say that's more diplomatic than action. And, I mean, although, Discovery did, like, boom, boom. And, you know, this last season of Discovery, there were moments where there was a lot happening in each episode. And I think we got to episode, like, 4, and you were like, I feel like nothing's happened. And it was like, well, this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened. And then you're like, oh, right.
But it still feels like nothing happened.
Yeah. So maybe something that's more thoughtful is a good idea. But I would love to see, maybe what I mean to say is that I would love to see an older Sir Patrick Stewart, like, badass action-y. Do you know what I mean? Maybe not.
I mean, he was swinging from cords and stuff in First Contact. He was definitely being action star at the end of that movie.
Right, but it's been
20-something years.
20 years? So, I just want, I don't know.
I don't know, it's even harder to watch than Harrison Ford being Indiana Jones, because at least Patrick Stewart looks more frail than Harrison Ford.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't know if I want to see him beating up on people with punches and stuff like that. Although I do really, really, really want that Romulan Legolas to be like Kato from the Pink Panther and like break out and like hide and like attack Patrick Stewart to keep him. Did you ever watch the Peter Sellers Pink Panther movies?
Like the classic one?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Kato, his manservant, his little Asian manservant, he would hide and he would break out of, like, different, like, the refrigerator or closet and, like, fight him in the middle, like, for just to keep him on his toes.
I guess I don't remember that.
Oh, well, I just was really hoping that the Romulan Legolas will be, like, Kato, like, just trying to keep Patrick Stewart on his toes to make sure he's, like, always ready.
Who's the Romulan Legolas?
Huh?
Who's the Romulan Legolas?
The guy in the trailer who looks like a Romulan Legolas.
I guess I didn't pick up on a Legolas. Sometimes your references confuse me, because, like, when we were talking about, like, Marvel, you were always calling Black Panther the Pink Panther, and so I was very confused.
Well, no, it wasn't a reference. It's just the guy in the trailer looks like a Legolas, but he's also, mm-hmm. he looks like a Legolas type, the way he's dressed and the way his hair is, except it's black instead of blonde, but he's a Romulan. So that's why I call him Romulan Legolas.
I see. I see. I don't know. I'm hopeful that it's going to be good.
Yeah, I'm definitely hoping it'll be good, and I'm looking forward to it coming out. And we got that, and then Discovery, and then Lower Decks, and so there's all sorts of Star Trek to look forward to in the year 2020. Hindsight is 2020, like next year.
It is exciting. I'm definitely looking forward to more Star Trek.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I don't know. I'm not sure what Aaron's got on this docket for next week, but
so next week we are going to be doing Conundrum, season 5, episode 14.
Ooh, moving into season 5.
And we're halfway done, so y'all need to come up with some more, or we're going to be finished with this very, very soon.
Well, we've got the movies, and hopefully we can get into some non-Star Trek stuff, because I really want to talk about Idiocracy sometime soon. Like,
oh, yeah, that's right.
Maybe by the next time I'm on, y'all be done with Picard, and maybe we can talk about Idiocracy, because I'd love to get into some non-Star Trek stuff, because once the new season of Picard starts, or the first season of Picard starts, we're going to be
getting... doing Trek all the time. Now, I wanted to ask you a question, actually. So, you're saying that all of the Star Trek books are non-canon?
Yes.
That sucks, because I've got The Return, written by William Shatner, and it is about... So, the Borg resurrect Captain
Kirk,
and go after Picard. It's after Picard was assimilated.
Yes.
So it, very interesting. I was almost read it, but this week I was like, oh, I'm looking for a book. I went through all my books and I didn't, because I remember you saying that they're not canon and I was disappointed.
Well, yeah, nothing written is canon in Star Trek. It's only film and television, except for the animated series. But that has kind of been rescinded in some ways, because the 2009 Star Trek movie reference parts of the animated series, and so does Discovery. Discovery references some stuff from animated series. Mm-hmm. So I suppose anything that is referenced from canon Star Trek from the animated series makes that part of the animated series canon, but it doesn't make all of it canon, which is why I'm really confused about the state of Picard, and I'm wondering what's going to happen with Picard, because like I said, the Star Trek Countdown was supposed to be canon to the prequel movie, and it all pretty much takes place inside the Prime Universe, the four comic series that leads into this Star Trek 2009 movie. And it's really well done, and it's really interesting. But apparently some of that is still canon because, you know, the jellyfish and Spock is gone, and Romulus is presumably gone because it got destroyed by the supernova. But other of it doesn't sound like it's canon, where Data became, well, basically B4 simulated Data's memory and became captain of the Enterprise E. That sounds like it may not have happened in this version of the universe. Mm-hmm. And also, Picard became ambassador to Vulcan in this series, and that sounds like it didn't happen either. Hmm. It may have, but just from the trailer and everything we've seen, it sounds like he was like in charge of Armada. Something bad happened with this Armada, and then he left and just went back to his vineyard. There might be more, but the thing is, there's some stuff that's written to be like, there's a couple books for Discovery that aren't canon, but they're kind of written as if they could be canon. It's the books are weird. The books are really weird because none of them are technically canon, but a lot of the ones that are coming out around the shows and around the movies, they're meant to be as close to canon as possible, which could be retconned if they don't want to keep them. But because there's a comic series that's going to be coming out, and the novel, if I remember correctly, it's been a while.
That'll be official.
It's not official, but it's like leading up to the Picard series. It'll be sort of official, but not really. Kind of like the Countdown was official, but not really.
Gotcha.
Or it leads into the movie and it gives you a better idea what's happening in the movie, but it may not be real because nothing that's written is officially canon that I'm aware of.
Gotcha.
I don't know if they've changed their mind on new things that are being written. I haven't read an article that stated that. Because, like, for instance, with Disney and Star Wars, all previous books were not canon. Everything before Disney bought it became uncanonized in its own universe. But now everything that's written is canon.
Well, so they can sell more stuff.
Yes. But all the new ones, all the new Star Wars books are canon. As far as I'm aware, and I may be wrong, but as far as I know, Star Trek stuff still isn't canon as far as written word goes.
It's not like The Matrix, where they built this thing to have a video game randomly in the middle.
Yes. The video game is canon to it, yeah. And it doesn't tie in nearly as well as what they thought it was going to. Who knows? Oh, man. That was such a disappointment.
Yeah.
And this is a guy at the new place I work, and he was saying the video game The Matrix Online is actually where all the backstory for The Matrix happens.
Yeah, that's what the DVD said. And I was like, well,
why would you put all your story into a game no one's going to play?
Right? Or that game now died, you can't really find quick. The thing, you know?
Yeah, and the game isn't online anymore. It was an MMO game like World of Warcraft or EverQuest. And yeah. That game just doesn't exist anymore. They took it offline years ago because it was a WB Interactive game, and then WB Interactive didn't know how to run an MMO. So they sold the game to Sony Online Entertainment, and they ran the game for a little while, and then it just didn't have a very good player base, so the game just stopped. Usually, you know, with massive multiplayer online games, if there's not a massive audience enough to make money from, then the game doesn't stay online.
Right.
I mean, there may be some fan-made server somewhere that are people running it, but it's not running in an official capacity as far as I'm aware.
Gotcha. Well,
I always tease my coworker. I'm like, hey, so you played The Matrix Online lately?
No.
It's all in good fun. Yeah. Tell me more about the Matrix. I just hope the fourth Matrix movie will go into that Matrix of the Matrix and then show us what's going on, because they just hinted at a bunch of stuff in the trilogy and then they didn't give us an answer.
I mean, I still kind of disagree, but we will come back to that when we get the next Matrix film. But I think we have talked the drumhead as much as we could have, so...
Absolutely. Thanks for recording with me, Holly. It's good hearing you. It's been a long time since I've seen you guys.
Thanks for being here this week.
I was off today, so I was like, I can do it. I can finally do it. I can talk to you guys. Who knows when you'll hear my voice again, all you wonderful people out there.
You guys might have to, in about 3 weeks, you guys might have to find a way to get up with each other without me.
Oh, okay.
I'll be able to participate, but I definitely wouldn't be able to edit.
Okay.
Because, like, I could, you guys could call me on my cell phone.
Aaron can probably edit that way.
But, yeah.
Cool. All our music is provided by Warp 11. You can, except for the intro, the intro is provided by our friend Dave Wilkes. With Warp 11, you can find them online at Warp 11 or warp11.com. And speaking of Warp 11, they just did a Kickstarter recently. I think it's probably over, and I haven't been on the show to bring it up, but they did meet their minimum goal to get their new album funded. So you should go look up Warp 11's Kickstarter, and if you can still kick them some money for their new album, that'd be awesome, because they make great music, and I've always enjoyed their music for using it for the show, and you've been hearing some of their songs on the show. Especially in our first season, we had a bunch of different intros, and now our intros are just by Dave Wilkes. But yeah, I'm glad they got their Kickstarter successfully funded, because I love their music. And otherwise, you can find the show online at Synthaholics.com. You can email us at Synthaholics@yahoo.com. You can tweet at us at SynthaholicDuo. I personally am at David_J_Duncan. Aaron's at Blackbird2004. And Holly's at Lunar Thistle.
So yeah, if you can't, you know, if you don't want to talk to us, or if you can't, you know, support the show, just share us with your friends. Don't be ashamed that you listen to the Synthaholics
podcast. Don't be ashamed. If you don't have Facebook, you can, or if you don't have iTunes or Facebook, if you're a big Redditor, talk about us on Reddit. Any way you can shout out the show and let people know that you're a proud Synthaholic, just let them know. That'd be great.
Or if you're not, I mean,
a closeted Synthaholic?
No, if you're not a fan.
Oh, if you're not a fan, Reddit has everything.
You probably haven't gotten this far in the episode if you're not a fan, though.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, thank you, Holly, for talking, and thank you, everyone, for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Well, you know, I have to focus on... See, I did it just there. I have to focus on how I sound out words, because in my head, I say them differently, but... I try to speak, I don't know, normal.
I say things wrong all the time.
Did Kaylee tell you that I said a word that you would have been so excited to hear?
I don't know. What did you say? I do get excited when you say words I don't normally hear you say, because it's like, yes, let's do it for the podcast. Do it for the podcast. Oh, yeah. And so just speaking of what happened, so like we originally were planning on putting out a Best of Both Worlds episode, and audio was lost. And yes. Aaron's audio was saved by Holly, and that'll be going up on our Patreon soonish when I get a chance to put that up there. But she did a really cool job editing just Aaron's part of a multi-person podcast into just one little part.
It was like an hour and a half condensed into 27 minutes.
Yes, so it'll be going up on our Patreon for anyone who's a member of Patreon currently. They'll be able to get that once I put that up. It's edited. I just have to get a chance to put it online.
Yeah.
So that's why we ended up re-releasing the Best of Both Worlds with Chris Scioli. So I listened to that again. I was like, if anyone knows the name of Cat Shit Coffee and what it is that poops out the bean that is made in the coffee, I want to know.
You know, you and I have talked about that as well.
Cat Shit Coffee?
Yeah. I can't remember why we had talked about it. Or maybe I talked about it with Robbie Palmer.
It's funny that it came up organically in two different ways on two different podcasts. That's interesting. So I Googled cat shit coffee, and it's a thing.
It is a thing.
It's called Kivit Coffee, or Kopi Luwak, as pronounced by Indonesian. It's real and it's expensive. It's $60 for 4 ounces of beans.
It's ridiculous.
Cat shit coffee's a thing.
People, if you don't know what that is, basically cats eat coffee beans and they poop it out. And when it goes through the digestive tract, it releases some acid that makes the coffee more flavorful or something. So people literally go around picking up wild cat poop from the forest and extracting the coffee beans and selling it. And people drink that. So,
cat shit coffee. Always the cologne commercials are so ridiculous.
They are usually pretty ridiculous. Like, what's that one where Johnny Depp, like, he drives off into the desert and then he pulls over and he walks into the desert and then he gets into the desert and he digs a hole with his hands. He takes all of his jewelry off, puts it in the hole and stands up. And it's like, what does that mean?
It means I don't need to look pretty when I can smell pretty. Smell my nipples.
Perhaps. Well, I honestly, if there's a fire in my office, either the flames will take all of my books, and some of these books are inherited books, or the water is going to damage them from the sprinklers. So there's no win here, you know?
For your stuff, but there's staying alive. Staying alive.
I mean, yeah. But I'm just saying.
Yeah. Water does not do kind things to books.